Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, Goldberg is back, and he's challenging Roman Reigns for the Chamber. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey is official for WrestleMania. We're breaking down SmackDown. We're watching AEW Rampage. I've got Adam Cole, the baby, in the ring right now. Let's get Johnny North in here. Let's do this thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Adam Cole, the baby, cutting a really serious promo right now. He just beat Evil Uno with the quickness. Pretty quick win there for Adam Cole. Almost a squashed. I mean, he beat him in under 5 minutes. By AEW standards, it was a squash, beating Evil Uno in the opener here for AEW Rampage. Welcome, everybody. Just before we started the show, John, I was watching this Adam Cole promo. He wants some respect.
What's the same?
He wants to be AEW World Champion. It was a very serious promo, saying no matter where he is, he wants to be on top, and he wants some respect, and he talked about all the guys that he's defeated as he's undefeated on his singles run, and he says, closes the promo with, I want to be AEW World Champion. Solid stuff from Adam Cole. Different side of Adam Cole, which I like. A little bit more serious, a little bit less, you know, doing that kind of stuff he's been doing. But, yeah,
goofy.
I like it. Yeah, a bit goofy, you know, the Young Buck stuff. The stuff with Fish and O'Reilly and, you know, are they together, are they not? Like, I'm just not that interested, but this was a more serious presentation of Adam Cole, so we'll see. And now Jade Cargill's doing a promo. It was brief.
Well, it's a good show for you so far.
Yeah, so
you're loving this.
Yeah, it's not bad. Rampage has been not bad. SmackDown. Let's talk about SmackDown, though. That's mostly what we're here to talk about. We'll be watching Rampage. I'm seeing Sammy Guevara come into the ring. And he is wrestling somebody tonight, right? Who's he wrestling?
Isaiah Cassidy.
Oh, right, from Private Party. So, whatever. We could focus on SmackDown while that thing's going on. I mean, Sammy Guevara will beat Isaiah Cassidy, and then we'll move on and whatever. Could be all right. I think the big news of the night, though, other than Ronda Rousey making it official with Charlotte Flair, I got to ask you about that ice storm, flying through an ice storm to have a chat with her baby comment from Ronda. I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know either.
You don't know either, right? What was that?
I don't know.
Strange. Charlotte seemed to know what she was talking about, though, right? See Charlotte's reaction?
Some sort of personal thing she mentioned that I don't know it has been really mentioned yet.
Yeah.
It's not well known, I don't think.
Oof. That Charlotte Ronda promo was quite something, but I think the big news, the one we were not expecting, I think the news on Ronda versus Charlotte was out at this point. By the time they got to the promo, we knew Ronda was going to show up and challenge Charlotte for Mania. Ronda won the Rumble. Ronda Rousey Royal Rumble. I mean, it was destined for her. And she wins. She's going to be touring on the SmackDown brand. We know there's a live event here in about a month, supposed to happen in Montreal or Laval, if you want to get specific. And Ronda Rousey's been announced for the card, teaming with Sasha Banks to take on Charlotte and Shayna. So we know that Ronda is going to be involved in this program here with Charlotte. We know that Ronda's going to SmackDown, and tonight we made it official. But Goldberg? I don't know. Goldberg was coming back. Were you as surprised as I was when old Billy came out? Billy G?
Yes and no. Because, like, I believe they said he had one match left on his contract. So it just made sense if he'd come back. It'd be for, it's either this or WrestleMania. And maybe he'll do WrestleMania as well, but it just makes sense he'd come back for this. Because he had the win last time they were in Saudi Arabia, right? He beat Lashley, if I'm mistaken.
I don't know. Did he?
I think he did.
Was that the revenge for Lashley beating up his son? I honestly can't remember.
He got the win, though.
Okay. I mean, I just know that when they go to Saudi Arabia, they tend to bring Goldberg, right?
Right.
He's been at a lot of these Saudi Arabia shows. Most of the time when they bring him back, it's for these shows. It's just, man, we're still going back to Bill Goldberg. He's 55 years old. We're still going back to this. Like, they can't build anybody from the main roster. They can't push anybody. They can't do anything with any of the guys they currently have. They're just going to keep going back to Brock and Goldberg and this guy and that guy. Like, wow. I'm not surprised because it's the WWE and they're going to Saudi Arabia in 2 weeks. And, you know, it's just the way that they're doing things. I'm just disappointed. Like, this is the best they have for Roman Reigns, Goldberg. They're trotting out Goldberg. And I know the match was supposed to happen a couple years ago at Mania, and it's Spear versus Spear, but whatever. We're doing this thing in 2 weeks. We're getting it over with. Roman gets the win over Goldberg so he can look even stronger, which is so unnecessary for WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar, who's probably going to win the WWE Championship in the Elimination Chamber so he can look even stronger, unnecessarily strong. Sacrificing the rest of your roster to make Brock and Roman look as strong as possible, beating everybody and taking all the championships on their way to their title versus title match at WrestleMania, which is for sure happening, and it is not being done to split, to end the brand split, and to have one champion, and we're going to go on like that. I doubt when Roman wins that he holds on to both championships. I really don't think that Roman Reigns is going to be the only champion in WWE. I think they probably, you know, keep Roman on SmackDown and they just give the Universal title or the WWE title back to Raw, or Roman defends one of the belts and loses them, you know, kind of like how Becky lost her belts after she won both on Raw and SmackDown. When she beat Ronda and Charlotte for the title versus title triple threat match at WrestleMania, Becky didn't unify the belts. The belts were never unified. They called her Becky Two Belts. They're not going to unify the WWE Championship. He's going to be Roman Two Belts for a while until they figure out a way to take one of the belts off Roman and give it back to one of the other guys, maybe Bobby or Brock or, you know, Goldberg. On Raw or whatever show Roman's not on. Probably Raw. Tell me I'm wrong, you know? And, like, okay, so what's the point of all this? Well, to give Roman the moment at WrestleMania with two belts. And maybe he holds on to two belts for a year. Until it's The Rock at WrestleMania next year in 2023. Maybe. But I'd say that's doubtful. But that's what they're going to do. And they're going to sacrifice the rest of the roster and the rest of the WrestleMania card by not having another title match on it because all the belts have to be in this match where these two guys are so big at this point and so over and such attractions that they could have this match for no titles and it would be fine. Tell me I'm wrong, Johnny. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, just the first thing, going back to this Goldberg Roman Reigns match, like the fact that, you know, they're bringing someone back, they can't build new stars. A lot of it is because, like, Saudi Arabia, they want, like, past stars. Like, they asked for, like, Yokozuna, the Ultimate Warrior. Obviously, WWE could not produce that, but they produced what they could. They gave them The Undertaker. You know, they'll give them Goldberg. They'll give them stars that, you know, they're still around, they can still do something. They're not wrestling as much, but we can at least put them on these shows and make them big deals. So, I mean, it's not just WWE, like, you know, not building new stars. It's the fact that Saudi Arabia, this is what they want.
Yeah. I mean, they want stars because the WWE has not been able to produce a new crop of stars. I mean, at some point, when are you going to stop giving them Goldberg? If the Saudis want Goldberg and he's 65 years old, are you still going to give it to him?
Probably not. I mean, like you said, this is his last match on his contract, right? So if he wrestles at WrestleMania, we'll be lucky at this point. This might be the end.
Lucky? I wouldn't consider myself lucky to see Goldberg wrestle at WrestleMania. I don't think I've ever considered myself lucky to see Bill Goldberg step into a ring. Lucky. You're loving this. I don't understand you. And you took heat on Twitter. People are like, what's the matter with you, John? People sending you GIFs, disapproving GIFs.
Disapproving GIFs. It's funny.
Well, that's what you were getting, right? I saw the responses.
No, people cannot like it, but it's the best thing going right now.
You're in the minority of people that like Bill Goldberg. Tell us why this is a good move. Tell us why this is good. Because I think I speak for the majority of people, the majority of people watching. They don't want to see Bill Goldberg in the WWE. I mean, tell me on the chat if you agree with Johnny and you think this is great. If you're really hyped to see Bill Goldberg versus Roman Reigns, let me know, by all means. But I think, John, you're alone on this. I mean, there may be others that like it. You know, I'm sure Goldberg's son likes it, you know. But even then, he might not. Might be embarrassed at this point.
Every time Goldberg shows up, the ratings go up. So Goldberg's still a draw, regardless that there are some people that don't like him. Still a lot of people that are interested when Goldberg shows up. Because, again, it's someone they know.
Harold Schneider dropping a super chat. He says, I didn't like Goldberg when he was young. I hate him more now. He hates him. Thank you, Harold. I agree. I don't like him either. And John is the biggest Bret Hart fan I know. And I am the biggest Bret Hart fan going. And somehow Johnny beats me. Possibly. I don't think he does because, you know, John, if you really loved Bret, you would hate Bill Goldberg for ending his career. If you really loved Bret.
But Bret said, like, it's not Goldberg's fault that what happened. It's the fact that he was trained poorly. Bret said that.
He also said Goldberg, don't kick me in the head. Whatever you do, don't kick me in the head. And Goldberg kicked him in the head. Bret told him not to kick him in the head.
Right. But again, poorly trained. That's the main problem, he said.
Oh, come on. Spidey
Parker's fault.
Oh, please. Johnny's still mad at Shawn Michaels, but for some reason he's forgiven Goldberg for kicking Bret in the head and giving him a career-ending concussion. I don't understand that. Also, well, you know, he almost killed Undertaker recently. That was more recent.
That was too bad, but again, that match, that's an infamous match now. Like, you always remember that match.
Yeah, one
sadly
of the
for that moment.
Worst but matches ever, where Goldberg almost killed Taker a couple of times. It's horrible. Was an embarrassment. Goldberg is embarrassing. He didn't look great either. He looked small. He looked like an old man.
Oh, he is old at this point. Like, he's close to 60 now, isn't he? Like, this is probably the last match for Goldberg.
He's only 55. You know what's crazy?
Only.
Goldberg is 55 years old. Shane McMahon is 52. Somehow, Goldberg is only 3 years older than Shane. He looks a full 10 years older than Shane, which is strange.
Well, I think Shane's it's not been as hard as a life. Goldberg playing football, wrestling for so many years. I don't think Shane's body has gone through the ringer as much as Goldberg has.
Yeah, Goldberg looks mad old for his age. I mean, Goldberg and AJ are roughly the same age. You know, Goldberg looks like he could be AJ's uncle. At least. Looks old enough to be your dad, John. Sammy Guevara just beat Isaiah Cassidy. And then Darby Allin kind of had a face-off with Sammy Guevara. Looks like they're going to wrestle for the TNT title. Sammy's still walking around with two belts. Why does he still have the two belts?
Anyways. I mean, he won the other belt. I mean, why not? I would do it. If you won the belt, double champ, yeah, sure.
But he's not. He's just the TNT champion. It's like one belt. He was interim, and now he's the unified. So it's unified. Usually it's one belt, but whatever. I don't really care about that. I'm more concerned with Goldberg being around. I think Goldberg shouldn't be around because he's awful, but I recognize that the WWE does awful things and brings in awful people all the time. So whatever. You know, when I saw it, I can't help but laugh. And honestly, at the end of that great promo by Paul Heyman, it was fine. You know, it's like, all right, we're doing this now, or whatever. Fucking Goldberg. Okay, Roman will beat him. And that's the thing. Like, Roman will beat him. The match will be short. It'll be at this Crown Jewel Elimination Chamber thing in a couple weeks on a Saturday afternoon. Goldberg's only going to be on SmackDown for another two episodes max. And then, like you said, this might be the last match on his contract, and maybe we never see him again. So if this is it, then fine. Let's get rid of him. Let's be done with it. I just don't know. They always trot him out when they need him. And for some reason, they think they need him. The Paul Heyman promo was really good with Roman and the Usos there in the ring. Great stuff from Heyman.
Well, just good storytelling to put all together, this whole Brock-Roman feud. Pretty much summed it up right there, and now we get to pretty much going to WrestleMania now. Like, the only thing he said off was like, oh, Brock thinks it's going to be Chamber's champion, but it's not going to be. However, Brock will more than likely change that and make it Chamber's champion after Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But still, good story put together.
Well, I think Heyman tipped his hand when he said that at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar will acknowledge the champion, Roman Reigns. I think that's going to be the new gimmick post-Mania. The champion, Roman Reigns. Because he'll be both. I think it is going to be champion versus champion. I mean, Heyman mentioned it a couple of times, saying, oh, Brock thinks this, but it's not going to happen. But he didn't make any mention of how very possible it is, because Brock is in the Elimination Chamber match, and who's going to eliminate Brock in that match? Right?
Right.
So Heyman's like, oh no, Brock's not going to win this match in 2 weeks. That'll set up a bigger match at WrestleMania. That's not going to happen. He thinks it will, but I know better. It's like, all right. I mean, I think he probably will. I hope he doesn't. I really do, but unlikely. I think WWE is just kind of putting all their eggs in this one match basket. The Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar basket. All the eggs going in the basket. The Universal title, the WWE Championship, all that shit. Put that in the basket. And it's basket time. Because the fucking Vince is a basket case, you know, at this point. Firing his son, going bananas. Who knows what's going on over there?
Well, they're making a lot of money.
You're
so
fired, Shane! Yeah, they're making money. Sure, that's fine. Vince is a very rich man. He'll continue to be a rich man with more and more unhappy employees. Contracted talent, independent contractors. And employees, too. They have employees that are unhappy. But, my God. Stories you're hearing of the WWE these days, just like, what? You're Tyson Kidd, like, was supposed to be a producer for the Rumble. And then he wasn't a producer for the Rumble because he's been off for like a few weeks and he's frustrated with WWE and stuff. Tyson Kidd is maybe the most obsessed with wrestling man on the planet. When you drive him out of your company, you know you got some problems. The fact that Tyson Kidd is like, ah, fucking WWE, goddamn, and he's leaving. I mean, I don't know if he left altogether or what his deal is, but like, imagine he left out of frustration with, like, how everything's going. This guy loves wrestling. Imagine driving him out of a wrestling company. You know things are bad when, you know? Not a lot of good signs coming out of WWE. The Shane McMahon thing is weird, too. You read the story, there was some report, I forget where, but it was like, oh, people are warning Tony Khan against hiring Shane McMahon. People within WWE, it's like, what is this story? What's really going on here? I think this is WWE planting stories about Shane McMahon to make him seem crazy. I think the WWE, I don't know what happened with Shane and Vince at the Rumble, but something happened. I think more than anything, it was a Shane and Vince thing. I think Shane was trying to get his way in certain ways, and maybe Vince wasn't having it. Maybe now that Triple H is getting pushed out a little bit, Shane sees an opportunity to step in, and he tried to... I don't know. I don't know what happened at the Rumble, but I would love to know what the hell happened that they had to fire Shane and now put out these stories that he's just this loose cannon and even AEW shouldn't hire him. Like, why would AEW even consider hiring Shane McMahon? For what? As a wrestler? As a manager? As a backstage person? I don't know what he would do for AEW. And I don't know that they'd be able to afford a guy like Shane McMahon's salary because he's, you know, the son of a billionaire and very, very rich. And I don't know what kind of money you need to attract a Shane McMahon into a wrestling company like AEW to do what exactly. He's not hurting for a paycheck. I don't think Shane would go so far as to work for AEW unless he's really pissed with his dad, but I don't know. People saying, oh, well, Tony Khan's not going to hire Shane now because WWE says he's crazy. I don't think Shane would ever work for AEW. I don't think that's really an issue. But maybe he would. I don't know. That'd be weird. It'd be crazy. You know something. I mean, imagine the promo he could cut on Vince from AEW. It'd be nuts. But all this Shane McMahon stuff and the Rumble fallout and all the different stories you're hearing about how the Rumble was a lot of miscommunication and, you know, a lot of rumors going around right now about the WWE and some turmoil. What do you make of all the Shane stuff?
Well, I just think it's one of those things you got to wait for the story to come out and you might have to wait for someone to write a book or some long interview on a podcast or something. So you get the full details on this, because until then, it's just going to be a bunch of rumors and just hearsay. That's what it seems like. There's an idea of something happened, but it seems kind of vague still.
What percentage chance do you give Shane McMahon showing up in AEW?
Oof. Probably about as good a chance as you saw AEW showing up in the Rumble.
Yeah. What, 0%?
Well, it isn't... After the fact, yeah, but going into it, I gave it just about the same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Shane shows up in AEW. Who do you think is more likely to show up in AEW as a scorned ex-WWE employee? Shane or Triple H? I don't think either of them will show up, John, but if you had to guess one of them.
Well, Triple H is not an ex-employee right now. He still actually is an employee for WWE. So
yeah, technically.
I mean, Shane has a better chance, right?
Yeah, okay. I'd say Shane, though. I don't think Stephanie ever leaves her daddy's side. She's going to ride it out to the end. But Shane, you know, he's been in and out. And because of the association with Stephanie there, I don't think Triple H goes. But people have been saying, oh, Triple H getting pushed out of NXT. He's going to leave the company and go to AEW. Triple H and Shane are going to start their own wrestling company. It's going to be bigger and better than that. Yeah, all right. I don't think so. But weird stuff with Shane. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But obviously, he ruffled some feathers, and one thing led to another, and there goes Shane. And Shane was supposed to be in the Elimination Chamber. Shane was supposed to be at WrestleMania, right? All these plans that make sense. Shane Seth, Shane... what's that guy? Austin Theory. Those were all possibilities. Yeah.
Seth Rollins, not so much.
Weird. Weird stuff with Shane. I mean, Vince firing his son and all these stories coming out about Vince's son and how he got fired from WWE. It is unprecedented that a McMahon would be fired from WWE and then stories going around like, oh, he's terrible to work with. He's the worst. You want to stay away from him, right? Like, you read that story, right? How they warned Tony Khan to not hire Shane.
I didn't see that. I'm not surprised something like that comes out, but, like, again, it just seems like it's hearsay. Like, it's really hard to take a lot of that stuff seriously.
I don't know. I read that. I don't know if it's real. This is from Pro Wrestling Torch. Apparently, Wade Keller of the Pro Wrestling Torch reported that he was told by people within WWE that somebody should warn Tony Khan what he's in for if he brings Shane McMahon to AEW. Apparently, it's a sense of entitlement cited as the main reason for the quote. And Wade Keller's source believed that he should, Shane, if Shane would show up in a promotion that isn't WWE, it would likely be amplified even compared to how he behaved at the Royal Rumble where he was out of control. So they're saying if he went to, you know, AEW or somewhere like that, he'd be even more entitled and kind of throwing his weight around because he'd feel more powerful even outside of WWE, more so outside of WWE because I guess his dad wouldn't be there to rein him in. But, yeah, so that's the Pro Wrestling Torch. Wade Keller, which is usually a pretty, you know, legit news source, says that the somebody in WWE told him somebody should warn Tony Khan what he's in for if he brings Shane McMahon to AEW, which is an odd comment. It's an odd story. Like, I don't know if Tony Khan would be considering that. It would definitely cause a stir, though, right? Is it worth it for Tony Khan to bring in Shane just for the buzz? If he could. Should he try?
Well, you kind of mentioned it already, and I kind of believe this is the case. WWE feeds stories, and they're not always accurate stories. They just kind of do that just to get people talking, but to kind of misguide them. And I feel like this is one of these stories kind of thing. I don't know what their intention is for spreading this kind of story, but I think it's just to get people talking because I guess people would think Shane would go to AEW given the past stories that people have heard.
Honestly, it feels like the WWE doing some sort of damage control because Shane probably had some ideas that may have been even better than what they did at the Rumble, and they were tossed aside for some other ideas that were totally awful, and people are blaming Shane, and maybe Shane raised the stink and said, hey, this was garbage. You know, Dad, you're out of control. You don't know what the hell you're doing anymore. This company is going to shit. Your writers are all idiots. They're all yes men. You know, maybe Shane just ripped on Vince backstage and they said, okay, well, fuck you, Shane. You have to leave. You know, you're fired, obviously. And now this is WWE saying, oh, Shane is gone because he was just pitching ideas for himself and he was all about himself and doing this and that and he was being real selfish and he was a bad guy and everybody should stay away from him. I mean, that's a possibility too. Like,
well, it's two sides to a story.
I mean, if Shane is pitching ideas that they don't like, chances are they're good ideas. Because the ideas they do like, we see on TV, and they also totally suck. So, come on. I don't know. I think this is WWE planting stories about Shane trying to make him seem nuts.
You know, I like to hear, like, from, like, if someone does an interview with one of the superstars in WWE that were in the Rumble, if they would talk about it, perhaps, you know, maybe that's how you're going to get the story to come out.
That's what I want to hear, too. I want to know what happened with Shane at the Rumble.
I mean, this will come out. You just got to give it time.
Yeah. It's a big story in wrestling right now. Goldberg coming out tonight. It'll be Goldberg versus Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber. Goldberg challenges Roman tonight, and it's official. I guess Roman accepted, or Adam Pearce decided it was the best match. I don't know, but Goldberg just walks in and gets a title match. Okay. Did he win a match recently, or, you know? No, but whatever.
Well, last time they were in Saudi Arabia, like I told you, like he beat Lashley, right?
Okay.
Former WWE champion, current WWE champion.
Did he beat Lashley? What was that, Crown Jewel? October 2021. Was that Crown Jewel? Yeah, Goldberg beat Lashley. You're right. Yeah. And Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar.
But it was only one title.
Yeah, but it happened in October. And that's the big match we're building towards for WrestleMania, which, again, is not that big because they did it in Saudi Arabia in October. I still can't believe this is the match they're giving us for Mania. They just did it. Roman won in October. Wasn't that long ago. Oh, let's do it again at Mania. It'll be even bigger. Title versus title. They need title versus title because it was for the Universal title in Saudi Arabia not that long ago. 12 and a half minutes. Roman wins. So I guess they need another belt on the line to make it special for Mania. Goldberg versus Roman at the Elimination Chamber in 2 weeks' time. Obviously, Roman wins, right? There's no way Goldberg wins and it'll be Goldberg versus Brock at Mania. What? No. Or is it? Do you think maybe Goldberg wins a Universal title and then faces somebody else for a Mania, like Big E, and then Brock wins the WWE title and it's Roman versus Brock for the WWE title at Mania?
Well, that's not going to happen. Roman's going to get the win. I mean, it would be really cool if Goldberg would face Big E at WrestleMania. I think that would be great for Big E if he could get that moment. But
yeah, but he won't.
I mean, you look at WrestleMania, what other big matches do they have? I feel like they almost need Goldberg at this point.
They don't have any big matches.
Well, that's why I think you got to have Goldberg against Big E. At least do that whole passing the torch kind of match.
They won't do that. They don't care about Big E.
Well, they should.
Yeah. They should, but, you know, I doubt they will. What else happened on SmackDown tonight? The Sonya Deville, Charlotte Flair in-ring promo. Sonya says Becky has told her that Ronda Rousey has chosen her for WrestleMania. So Charlotte has to choose her own opponent for WrestleMania because Becky told her that it's going to be Becky versus Ronda. And Sonya believes her without asking Ronda for some reason. And Charlotte says she's been on top since 2015. And Ronda, what's she been doing? Playing video games and farming and having a baby, which she kind of mocks. Which I thought was interesting. Charlotte says she'd be worried for Ronda if she didn't choose Becky because mom versus mom is an easier fight. Wow. Charlotte's saying, you know, Ronda shouldn't choose me because you're a mom and that makes you weak. And Becky's also weak because she's a mom. I am not a mom and I'm stronger. So you shouldn't choose me. That was quite a comment from Charlotte Flair. Wasn't expecting her to go that way, but that's where she's going. And then Charlotte says, talks about picking somebody for WrestleMania, and she says she's going to pick Sasha Banks. And she says, well, Sasha's not here tonight, but WrestleMania, it's going to be the best night and worst night of your life. So Sasha Banks gets a WrestleMania title match for a brief moment until Ronda Rousey shows up. And she says, hey, I didn't have to fly halfway across the country through an ice storm to see my baby to have a chat. Now, that seems like what I got from that, John, if I'm going to guess, right? Who is Charlotte's baby?
I guess Andrade.
Maybe she had to go see him in person. Maybe she missed a show at some point because, you know, she had to have a relationship talk with him. That's what I read into Charlotte's or Ronda's line. Otherwise, what the hell is she saying?
Something personal, obviously, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, I never heard this story.
Me neither. But obviously, Ronda heard some story, and the way Charlotte reacted to it, she was like, all right, you got me there. All right, okay. Right? Like, Charlotte acted like, okay, yeah, there's something there. She didn't, like, go, what? What the hell are you talking about? She acknowledged the comment, right? And Ronda says, Charlotte, you're just one of the people that I have an ass beating for, and you're not special. You're just first, and I'll see you at WrestleMania, bitch. And then Charlotte says, the opportunity is back in the main event of WrestleMania. And Charlotte then says, this title is my baby, and she's prettier than yours. She insulted Ronda's child. God.
Yeah.
And that made Ronda take her jacket off. I mean, you're bringing babies into it. Ronda takes her jacket off, and Sonya's like getting in her face, like, I run the show, Ronda. You listen to me. I'm the boss around here. You don't do anything unless I tell you to do it. And then Ronda pushes Sonya out of the way to get to Charlotte. Charlotte goes for Ronda, but Ronda dodges out of the way. And Sonya then jumps on Ronda's back, which kind of confuses Charlotte, and Charlotte just leaves. And Ronda tosses Sonya off her back, puts her in the armbar, and the show ends. Not a bad promo from Ronda. Good promo from Charlotte. Again, the queen, the opportunity, the champ. Looking great, doing a great job. I thought the stuff with Ronda was good. A little bit confusing, which I like. I like to wonder about things, like Ronda dropping that line about the ice storm to see her baby. What the hell was that? I like that. I like when she's dropping things that feel like real, and they feel so, and it's got more impact when you don't know what they're talking about. Because if you know something, like, you know, people used to tell Triple H, like, oh, who wears the pants in your family, Triple H? I think somebody is a McMahon is telling you what to do in bed, or, you know? When they used to do that, it was like, yeah, okay, we know Triple H and Stephanie are married. Like, we get it. When you drop that line, it feels like shooty, but it's not really, because everybody knows. But when Ronda is dropping this line about Charlotte going off somewhere to have a chat with her baby, you're like, it feels shooty, and we don't even know the story behind it, so it feels really shooty, right? Like, that's good stuff. That's really good. That's the best stuff, where it's like, because if she dropped a line like, oh, Charlotte, why don't you leave this company and go be with your boyfriend somewhere else, people would be like, ooh. But everybody knows Charlotte's boyfriend's Andrade, and he's in AEW and whatever. You know, like, she could have said that, but that doesn't have much impact. But the thing that she said instead, for somebody like me who's paying attention, we're like, what the fuck? What are you, what? What was that? Right? I think that's good. Good promo.
I mean, good and bad in a sense. Like, for you, it works. But for, I think, the people there, the audience there, they were just kind of like, you what? And then it doesn't give much of a reaction.
But they had the physical confrontation. They had enough stuff for the reaction. Like, not every line in a promo has to get a big reaction from the crowd. Some stuff should be for TV and for the hardcore fans to wonder, like, what the hell was that? Because other than that line in Ronda's promo, it was pretty basic. And Charlotte, you know, going at Ronda's baby and saying stuff like that added some realism to it. But I think it's good. I don't think every line has to hit with the live crowd. I think that there were some people in the live crowd that heard that line and said, what? What's that? But they wonder. And maybe the story will come out. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll just be one of those things. You'd be like, oh, yeah, remember when Ronda said that thing about Charlotte? Like, the story will come out in 2-3 years, you know? We'll find out Ronda was referencing it.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. I just find that in that moment, like, Ronda's kind of got to speed it up a bit in the promo. Like, you say a line like that, you should move on. Like, she let that breathe a little bit, and it's like, you don't really need to let that one breathe, because not many people are going to react to that.
I don't know. I don't think you need people to react to everything. I thought Ronda was good. I mean, she got enough reactions. She got a huge reaction when she came out. The Ronda chants were huge. She was over. You know? Fine. You know, sometimes you drop lines like, you remember when The Rock and Cena were feuding? Rock dropped some sort of line about Cena and getting divorced and stuff like that, but that wasn't like public information at the time. But then it kind of, I don't think it was public. I think Rock was kind of making, like, Cena was maybe in the process of going through the divorce, and Rock kind of made some comments about it, but I don't think it was fully public at the time. It wasn't common knowledge in wrestling. And that's the kind of thing where you found out more about it later. Yeah, no, I think that was later on, though. You only found out later that The Rock was kind of saying those things. Nevertheless, I thought it was a very good promo.
Also deleted from history.
Oh, was it? Yeah, WWE took it out.
Yeah.
Those promos were good. They crossed the line. And I hope that Ronda and Charlotte cross the line. Ronda and Charlotte have the attitude that they can really go back and forth in promos and say some things to each other. Already, I'm interested. They piqued my interest tonight, right? They got me interested in the match for Mania, but more importantly for the build, the way there. The promos on the way there, the tag matches on house shows and stuff on the way there. I'm interested in that. I want to see how they work together. Because they're two combustible elements, you know? Ronda and Charlotte both are stars and both have egos, and they're going hard on the promos right off the bat. So things could escalate in a hurry. And that's what we want for WrestleMania. Big match. Big match feel. Good job for both of them to set that up for me. You don't seem that convinced.
I just feel like it's a letdown. Like, they did a fine job of what they had, but if we're not getting Becky and Ronda, I feel anything less is like a step down.
Charlotte Flair is never a step down. I mean, she's Charlotte Flair.
In terms of the wrestling, sure. In terms of the star power, fine. But in terms of, like, the story, like, Ronda and Becky, that's the one I think everyone wanted to see.
Well, I think we're going to see that next year.
I'm not a big fan of this whole we'll wait until next year, like Roman and The Rock, we'll wait until we can do it kind of thing. Like, sometimes when you wait too long and it doesn't work out. You know, a lot can happen in a year, so sometimes it doesn't work out for WrestleMania.
Yeah, but how often do we complain about these short builds and, you know, nothing being given time to really kind of build up into this big, you know, if we can set up two main events for WrestleMania next year, 1 year away, I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, like, if you can set up Rock versus Roman and start setting it up like a year out, and then we build and build until finally it happens at WrestleMania, it's a bigger match when you have a longer build. Same with Becky and Ronda. If you start building that over a year, when it happens, it's huge. I think a year-long build for a match sometimes is good. I think a lot of times a long build is good. Especially when you want to pay it off at a big show like WrestleMania. I got no problem with that.
I just worry about their past history with doing that. And I feel like it didn't pay off that well when they did, like, Rock Cena, wait a year, and then, oh, let's do another year. Like, to me, that was just, like, 2 years of just bad.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't think that it worked out as far as what we saw in the ring, and I think that when you live through it, knowing how it was going to play out, you know, wasn't great. But when you look back, it was one of the bigger feuds of that era, and, you know, it was one of those things that kind of helped John Cena get to the next level. Cena was at a certain level, but that feud with The Rock, it did accomplish getting Cena to this higher plane of pro wrestling. It made him bigger than the business. Those two matches with The Rock made him bigger than WWE. And I don't know if that happens without having those matches. So, yeah, I agree with you. It sucked. The matches were garbage. Dwayne was not in wrestling shape. He looked great, but not, you know, cardio-wise, he wasn't there. for either match. They were both bad. Cena is not great to carry that match either. And a lot of it was boring. But at the end of those 2 years, you did accomplish making John Cena a much bigger star than he would have been without Dwayne. And at that time, that's what the WWE was all about, making John Cena a huge star, a household name. Similar to what we're going through right now with Roman Reigns, it's boring, it's not fun, but they're doing it to make him the next John Cena, into a household name. Brock Lesnar this year, The Rock next year. And after that, if he's not a big star, if he can't, you know, generate some calls from Hollywood, well, experiment failed, I guess. But that's really the way of doing things. Get one guy, push him to the moon, choose a guy, push him to the top, despite what the fans say. Who cares what the fans say? Drown them out in the arenas. Ignore them online. Build your whole roster around one guy, make him huge so that eventually mainstream media picks up on him and he can go off and do other things and hopefully come back and have big appearances for your company. That seems to be the plan. I don't know how great of a plan that is. I don't know how well it worked with Batista, you know, or even with John Cena. Like, all right, they made John Cena a star, and he carried the company for a while and all that. But at this point, they made him so big, and he's not really coming back. So I don't know. But that's what they're doing with Roman.
Yeah, you don't make it seem like it's going to be great going forward here. Like, you kind of showed that it's not worked very well in the past when you do these long builds, but... Well, they're going to do it anyways, and at least they'll make someone into a star. You'll just have to suffer through. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but you like it. You like Roman Reigns. So what are you complaining about? I'm the one who doesn't like it, right? I'm the one who's always saying how it's boring, how it's, you know, it's kind of going through the motions here. But you enjoy it. So enjoy, I guess.
Well, we weren't really talking about Roman in this case. We're talking about Ronda and Charlotte, and then going to Becky. So
yeah, but it's the same thing.
To wait a whole...
It's what they do, the year-long build. They're doing it with Roman, with Rock next year. You said you didn't like that, waiting for Rock. Too obvious.
Well, the problem with Roman, and this is the problem with him beating Brock at WrestleMania, is like he's too powerful.
Yeah.
Because like he's beating everybody. He beats all these names, and it's like, well, he needs the Rock because... No one else is even close to on his level. Like, I guess maybe Seth, you could do that at SummerSlam, but wow, that's still far away if you think about it.
I think the only guy that beats Roman is the next Roman.
I mean, we'll see if they bring up
Braun Breaker.
Steiner's son.
Yeah.
Right. You were thinking it too. That's good.
Well, yeah, I mean, who else, right? He's their guy, as he should be. At least the Braun Breaker era might be a little bit more fun than the John Cena and Roman Reigns eras, if it indeed is Braun Breaker. Roman's 36. He'll be 37 later this year. So at a certain point, they're going to start moving away from Roman, right? As he drifts into his 40s, you're going to start looking for a new guy.
Yeah, but he's still got at least two, three years on top, at least.
Braun Breaker's 24. 24 years old, right? He's a full decade younger. Right. Like, he's their next guy. So I think at a certain point, like, I think you do Roman, Brock here. Roman, Rock next year happens. Roman's going to be 38 years old. You know? You give Roman another, you know, at that point, you could have Braun Breaker come in and beat Roman, and then, you know, Roman's just another top guy. Has a feud with Braun Breaker for a couple years and goes off to Hollywood in his 40s.
I think possibly
the Roman era could end in the next 5 years.
Well, he'll always be a star. He just might not be, you know, the champion. Like, obviously, I don't expect he'll have another reign quite like this. I mean, this is truly his time in a sense right now. Like,
yeah,
he'll never get another reign like this. Like, he'll probably maybe win the title again, but it won't be even close to this long.
Yeah. That's why they're making everything about him right now, because this is his time. This is the prime time for Roman. But I honestly don't see, like you're right. They've built him up so strong that no one on the roster could legitimately beat him where it makes sense. Braun Strowman. Brock Lesnar's not beating him. The Rock's not beating him. John Cena didn't beat him. Seth Rollins not beating him. Although they did leave the door open for Seth, right? Because Roman was in trouble. Although he wasn't really in trouble. He had Seth in his finishing hold, the guillotine, and Seth held the ropes, and then Roman didn't break. But Seth was giving Roman some troubles, and Roman had to escape. And they're not going right back to the rematch there, so you could build it for a year or 2 years or 3 years from now. Like, you could keep those guys apart until WrestleMania in 2024 and do Seth Roman then. But it's not like Seth is going to take it from Roman and be the new guy. Like, they're contemporaries. They're the same age. So, you know, it's always going to be Roman, and Seth will always be the number two. Always. So maybe they'll have the match at, you know, WrestleMania in 3 years from now or whatever, but by then it won't matter because it should be Braun Breaker's time. Braun Breaker in 2 years, 3 years at the most should be a top star in WWE. If he's not, I mean, they messed up. Or he messed up somehow, but talented guy. Very talented.
Well, he should definitely be in the Rumble next year. I mean, and if not winning it, should have a strong performance and then possibly win it the following year.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't rush it. Like, how about we bring up a guy who doesn't, like, lose right away? How about we bring him up and he's, like, legit right off the bat? Like, I think if he's going to debut in the Rumble, he should win the Rumble.
Well, having strong showings, that's still pretty good, though. Like, if he finished, like, runner-up, that's still all right, though. Like, as long as he eliminated, like, 10 people or something, that's still pretty strong.
I don't think you should start your career on a losing note, though. You know? Don't start, you know, don't just come up from NXT and it's like, oh, the first time we saw this guy, he was in the Rumble. Did he win? No. Who won? Oh, Triple H won for the sixth time. No, I'm kidding. But you never know. You never know.
I mean, it would be The Rock if you think about it.
Yeah. Ricky Starks just beat Jay Lethal to defend the FTW title on Rampage.
There's a bit of interference involved in this one.
Was there? I missed it. Will Hobbs?
Hobbs, Dante Martin, involved. But in the end, I think it was the fact that he went for the lethal injection and then counter, counter, counter. And then Ricky hit his finish for the win.
Man, this TSN app is so garbage. Well, because I'm watching Rampage on the TSN app, right? But they just take the feed from TNT, so you have the American commercials. Oh,
right.
There you go.
Yeah.
But there's this some other show on after Rampage, some sort of fast foodies show that Chris Jericho's like on. Okay.
Okay.
So the next program on TNT starts playing on the app. They forgot to turn the stream off. It's good people working there. What the hell? Like, they're airing TNT programming past Rampage. They're just like, oh, let's air fast foodies too on the TSN app. Then they realize they have to turn it off. But I saw a good minute of fast foodies. I didn't like it. Ridge Holland and Rick O'Shea had a match. Rick O'Shea won. Hits him with a knee to the face thing. And a distraction from Sheamus and Cesaro, who are arguing outside the ring. We go to commercial after the match. And, of course, we come back. And it's a tag team match, player. Holla, holla. Ridge Holland and Sheamus beat Cesaro and Rick O'Shea. Holland hit a slam on Cesaro for the pin after a blind tag on Sheamus. Cesaro didn't know that Holland had tagged and lost quite quickly. This happened tonight, John.
Well, this match has happened before, too. I mean, this was just felt like another night of rematches tonight, sadly. I mean, I thought the beginning and the end segments were the best part of the show, and then you had a bunch of crap in the middle.
Pure crap. It was like a shit sandwich, you know? Shit sandwich between two gold bars. You know, I was like, yeah, the top was good, the bottom was good, the middle, garbage.
Well, that seems to be a lot of shows these days. It's like you start hot and you end hot, but stuff in the middle, whatever. It's pretty much what wrestling shows are now.
Why is that? What happened? What about the middle?
I guess they feel like, oh, once we hook you in, like, oh, you'll stay. And, you know, for the end, like, well, if you're going to stick around, we've got to make it good, I guess.
Yeah, well, the middle was garbage. Jimmy Uso beat Eric of the Viking Raiders after a top rope splash just pinned him. Like, okay.
I think Eric had a little bit of offense, and there was a distraction, and then finished.
Aaliyah
that was
beat,
a match.
Yeah, Aaliyah beat Natty by countout. They were fighting outside the ring, and Aaliyah beat the count to beat Natty again. The Usos and the Viking Raiders are going to wrestle at the Elimination Chamber, by the way, for the SmackDown Tag Team title, so that's why they had that singles match. And Aaliyah and Natty continue their feud that no one wants to see. Natty wants a match with Aaliyah next week, and she says it'll be pinfall or submission only, dungeon style. I don't know why it's dungeon style. But she's going to have a dungeon-style match with Aaliyah next week. I mean, I understand Natty's from Calgary and the Hart family and the Hart family dungeon and all that, but I never heard of a dungeon-style match being pinfalls or submissions only. I remember the match in the dungeon that Ken Shamrock and Owen Hart had in the actual Hart family dungeon, but I never heard of dungeon-style. Have you? I've been a student of the Hart family. I mean, I didn't actually go and train there, but I mean, I pay attention to what they've done, and I know a lot about the Hart family dungeon and the history and all that stuff. Big fan of the Hart family. I really don't know anything about dungeon style. First time I hear of dungeon style.
Well, I think just because it's the way people perceive what the Hart dungeon is or was, and this is going to be a rough match. It's going to be very tough on her, and she's going to put in a lot of holds. And I think they really wanted to make it a submissions match mainly, but they realized that's kind of boring, and people wouldn't really like that kind of match, so they had to throw in pins and submissions.
Next week on SmackDown, Aaliyah versus Natty.
The never-ending feud.
Yeah, I mean, god damn. I mean, this is so obviously just Natty teaching Aaliyah how to wrestle on TV. But I don't need to watch this on-the-job training. Let's teach Aaliyah how to wrestle, because she's new and we want to use her for some reason.
Teach her how to be a face. She's pretty bad at that.
She's bad at everything. Promos, wrestling. She's not good. She's been in developmental for like 20 years. I mean, she's not good.
Well, Drew, it's an exaggeration, but yeah. Okay.
I don't know, but she's been there for a while, right?
She has been there a while, but I mean, you know, they're giving her a chance. No problem with that. It's just I feel things that they're working on, there's other aspects they really should be working on, like her character.
She signed to NXT a developmental contract in 2015. 7 years in developmental. And this is what you get.
Right.
They train her now to be a wrestler for 7 years. And this is as good as they can make her. Imagine that. Imagine being trained to do something for 7 years. 7 years. You could be a doctor or a lawyer for 7 years of school, right?
Right.
Imagine going through doctor school and coming out and being as shitty at doctoring as Aaliyah is at wrestling. You'd be a laughingstock. 7 years paid training. A lot of these people that, you know, train 7 years to do things, they're paying for it. You pay your way through school. No. Aaliyah got signed to a contract so they could teach her how to wrestle. They put her on TV. 7 years later, her reward for being a shit wrestler and staying in developmental and not developing over 7 years, her reward is TV time on Fox, and she still sucks. How embarrassing. Poor Aaliyah having to go and wrestle on TV and show how bad she is. Really embarrassing. 7 years to train for a job, and this is as good as you can get. Wow.
Well, you also have to look at it in the sense that they've invested this much time into her, so they're going to try to get the most out of her now at this point. And with her as well, I'm sure, like, you've trained this long, you've tried for so hard and to get this opportunity. You know, it's sink or swim now, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not her fault. She's not athletic. They signed her when she's like 18 years old or 20 or something. She was really young, 19 or 20.
18, 19, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they kept her around, and now they're putting her on TV. It's not her fault. Maybe she's tried really hard. She's, you know, sometimes you could try really hard at a thing and just be bad at it. Look at, you know, Baron Corbin. He's obviously been around for a while. He's awful.
Be fair to him. He's getting good heel heat. That's for sure.
Yeah, people do hate him. I hate him. I hate watching him on TV. I think I hate his friend more, though. I don't know if I'm supposed to hate his friend more, but I do. Drew McIntyre cuts an in-ring promo. He says he told the doctor to kiss his ass when the doctor told him that he wouldn't be able to make WrestleMania because he's too injured. Drew should not be that abrasive to his doctors. I'm sure the doctor was frightened when Drew started yelling at him because Drew is huge. Anyways, Drew starts talking about Corbin and Moss and how they attacked him and how he wants revenge. And here comes Corbin, and he starts talking, and then Madcap Moss, of course, shows up behind him. But Drew stops him, and he points the sword at Madcap's face like he's going to stab him in the head. Would have been great. Yeah, it would have been nice to see a decapitation on SmackDown. Blood everywhere. Really scar all the children in the audience for life. Be kicked off Fox. Be kicked off Fox forever. That'd be great. That'd be fun to see. But instead, Drew says to Moss to tell him a joke. And then Moss starts telling a joke about something, and then Drew's like, no, tell me a joke about me. And Madcap says, okay, what do a criminal and the main event of WrestleMania have in common? They're both getting off scot-free. Because Drew is Scottish, and he won't be in the main event of WrestleMania. Which, like, is kind of mean for the writers to have written that about Drew McIntyre. Like, hey, by the way, you're not in the main event of WrestleMania. You have to wrestle these nerds. Anyways, Drew McIntyre then hits his Claymore kick on Madcap Moss and tells Baron Corbin that he's next. Even though Corbin is just standing there alone and Drew's got a sword, Drew decides to just wait in the ring and get him later when his buddy's recovered and they can double team him and put him out of action again. Shouldn't Drew have gone after Corbin, too? Like, he almost broke his neck, tried to take him out of WrestleMania, right? This is his chance at revenge. He just kicked one of the guys in the head, and he's like, Corbin, I'll get you some other time. Why not now? Now seems like a good time. He's right there. Tried to break your neck. Somebody tries to break my neck, I might stab him in the head with the sword. I don't know. I mean, you try to break your neck. Yeah. Murder is revenge, seems about right.
Yeah. Well, instead, you'll just have to wait until Elimination Chamber where Drew will face Madcap one-on-one again.
Really?
Yeah, that's official.
So they're saving the Corbin match for WrestleMania, right? It's so big.
Probably.
Wow. Wow. Here's a bright spot. Sami Zayn, I think, has worked his way into a big match at WrestleMania with Johnny Knoxville. I think he's almost found his way there. Because Sami Zayn was shown crashing the Jackass movie premiere. And then he's backstage with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. And he says that he's earned an Intercontinental title match and he wants to know when it's going to be. And he says, and they say, okay, Sammy, you've got your match. It's next week against Shinsuke. And Sammy says, oh, next week doesn't work because I got tasered last week by Johnny Knoxville and I'm still recovering. So Pierce says, okay, in 2 weeks on February 18th, SmackDown. And Sammy's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. And then Pierce asks Sammy if they should invite Johnny Knoxville to the match, and Sammy's like, oh, you're not funny, and then he leaves. So what I got from this is that Johnny Knoxville is not available next week on SmackDown, but he is available in 2 weeks on February the 18th when they will be in Nashville, Tennessee. Knoxville in Nashville. Makes sense to me.
All right. All right. The day before the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. AEW's in Nashville on the 18th. I actually have no idea where SmackDown will be on the 18th. Because they're going to be in Saudi on the 19th, and I don't think they're selling tickets for SmackDown on the 18th. I tried to look up info for SmackDown on the 18th, so it's probably a taped show, right? I don't know when, though.
Right.
Maybe the previous week in New Orleans? Next week they're in New Orleans, yeah. Maybe they'll tape SmackDown next week. I don't know. But I think Johnny Knoxville is going to show up for this Sami Zayn Intercontinental title match and set up a match for WrestleMania. I really think they're going to do it. I think it makes sense. They should. They need something for Mania. Celebrity guest, celebrity match. Sami got Jake Logan Paul, right? Last year for Mania. I think he's figured out a way to get Johnny Knoxville here. Sammy's good at this, getting the celebrities to agree to do stuff for Mania. Celebrities want to be part of WrestleMania. Sammy's just got to ask and then get the WWE's okay.
And more than likely, he's probably going to actually have a match, I think, with Johnny Knoxville as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would get people interested. I'm not saying it's going to be the greatest match in the world, but I'm sure non-wrestling fans would want to see what Johnny Knoxville would do in the ring.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, a celebrity match. It's something on the card. It's something different. It's not Sammy versus some guy for the Intercontinental title. You know, it's Sammy versus Johnny Knoxville. I think the only question is, will it be for the Intercontinental title? Does Sammy win and defend the IC title against Johnny Knoxville? And does Johnny Knoxville perhaps take the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania? I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them. I'm going to say probably doesn't, but I wouldn't be surprised if it actually is going to be a title match.
Shinsuke Nakamura beat Jinder Mahal tonight. Sammy was on commentary. And we're 2 weeks away now from Sammy versus Shinsuke, a match that would probably take place at the Chamber in Saudi Arabia. But, of course, Sami Zayn, because of his Syrian heritage, is not allowed to compete in Saudi Arabia because the Saudis don't like it. So Sammy will wrestle Shinsuke for the IC title the night before on SmackDown. Does Sammy take it on SmackDown, you think?
I feel like he is, because, like, nothing much is happening on SmackDown. I think next week they have Charlotte defend the title. Obviously, she's not going to lose there. And I think the tag titles are defended at the Chamber. And more than likely, we're going to get a new WWE champion in the Chamber. I think SmackDown will have a title change next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I could see that. Shinsuke's held on for the IC title for a very long time and has done nothing with it. He's been hurt for most of the run, I think.
Yeah, he hurt his hand, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Naomi backstage wants a match with Sonya Deville. But Sonya Deville says no, and Naomi says, okay, how about next week? And Sonya's like, no, because you have a match with a Charlotte Flair for the title. Isn't that better? And Naomi's like, yeah, all right. And then Adam Pearce is like, yeah, you're going to have that match. But I think Pearce looked a little surprised because I think Sonya only gave her the title match to escape having the match with Naomi. Right? That's what happened there.
Well, we already had the match. Do we need to see the match again?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Match of the night for me. I don't know about you, John. This was not a great episode of SmackDown as far as the wrestling, but the New Day over Los Lotharios was my favorite in-ring contest of the night. Nice match there. Good false finish at one point where one of the Lotharios moonsaulted on the outside and hit Big E, and then I think it was Garza rolled up Kofi, and it was like, oh shit, are they going to beat New Day here? It was a good false finish, a couple nice moves, a nice drop kick, doomsday device thing that the Lotharios did. They're solid wrestlers. Like, I like Garza and Humberto. They're good in the ring. The WWE just gives you no reason to care about them, but they've got a good look. I like them as a tag team. I think they're talented, but, you know, it's just the gimmick is terrible, and there's no reason to care. But I thought the match was good tonight. As far as wrestling on the show, I thought they had the best effort.
Well, that's it. There wasn't really much competition tonight. Every other match, I think, was a rematch of some kind, more than likely. Even my Echo thinks the same way.
Yeah,
for some reason. It's weird. My Echo, for some reason, decided to chat up about that.
What's an Echo? That's an Amazon thing?
Right, correct, yes.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, I activated it. But I thought this was the only match that really was kind of unique, stood out. Even though it was still kind of sloppy at some points, like Kofi didn't have the tag rope for the tag at the end. But, you know, it's just little things. Like, this was still the most exciting thing you saw in terms of wrestling tonight on SmackDown.
Pretty easy to agree on match of the night, right? Not a lot of competition.
Well, yeah, that's it. Not a lot of competition.
I mean, the Holland and Sheamus versus Cesaro and Ricochet match wasn't bad.
Well, I think the problem was the fact that you start off, the match is very short, right?
Well, yeah, it's just that they did a one-on-one and then they turned it into a tag. It's kind of like, eh, I don't like
that. A
tag
that we've already seen before.
Yeah.
And you do the whole, you know, Ricochet wins, but then the heels win. So it pretty much just cancels out everything. No one really gets over. It's just even. So you didn't really accomplish anything with that.
I agree. Goldberg versus Roman Reigns is what we accomplished tonight. It is official for the Universal title at the Elimination Chamber. Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Championship, official for WrestleMania. Those are the big matches we accomplished, and those were the best segments on SmackDown tonight. Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura set for the Intercontinental Championship on the 18th of February, SmackDown. The day before the Chamber, and Natalia versus Aaliyah in a dungeon-style match announced for next week on SmackDown, as is Naomi versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship set for SmackDown next week, which is really pointless with Ronda Rousey hanging around because no one in their right mind believes Naomi's going to win, and then it'll be Naomi versus Ronda at WrestleMania. Kind of feel bad for Naomi in this spot getting a title shot. Anybody getting a title shot between now and Mania, it's kind of like, why?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one. I feel like almost the champion shouldn't defend until WrestleMania. Like, they have like a guaranteed shot in a sense. And there might be some strong contenders, sure. But, I mean, unless it was like Sasha or something, it's like, no, you shouldn't get a title shot.
Weird that Charlotte said, oh, Sasha, we're going to wrestle at Mania. Sasha's not there. I wonder what Sasha does at Mania. Does she even have a big match? Because, you know, Charlotte, Ronda, Becky. I don't know. Becky's wrestling Lita at the Chamber. I don't know who she's going to wrestle at Mania. Maybe Beth Phoenix? Maybe Bayley? I don't know. What does Becky do at Mania?
I mean, Bianca's there, right? It's possible.
Yeah. Probably Bianca. which is not great.
Well, it's been done. That's the problem with that. But, I mean, you know, if they're finally going to give Bianca her win back from SummerSlam, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
I don't think they do. You don't have Bianca beat
it's
Becky.
It's a bad thing, then.
Especially if you're building Becky for Ronda next year at WrestleMania. You don't have Becky lose to Bianca this year at WrestleMania. If it's a setup, Becky's got to win.
Well, then it's kind of crummy for Bianca if she's going to lose at WrestleMania.
That's why you put Becky up against a legend like Beth Phoenix or Trish Stratus or somebody like that, who is a big name, big match for Mania that she can beat. The only problem is, I mean, the message you're sending to the roster. You got, you know, Brock Lesnar in the Elimination Chamber, part-time guy, probably going to win the WWE title. You have Becky Lynch taking on Lita, part-time wrestler. Ronda Rousey comes in from out of nowhere. She wins the Rumble. She's taking on Charlotte Flair at Mania. They're throwing in a lot of people that aren't there a lot to get the top spots. And then the rest of the roster, who does all the work the rest of the year, gets, you know, the crumbs. It's tough.
Well, you kind of mentioned it before. There's already, like, a lot of great women wrestlers that they're not using WrestleMania. They should get the opportunity instead of just bringing someone in. Like, you know, Becky versus Sasha, I think that's fine.
Becky versus Sasha would be good, too. We'll see. All right, John, some breaking news here. Tony Khan just tweeted out. Let me show you what the owner of AEW just put out. Rampage is in the books. Dynamite is coming up on Wednesday. That is when Johnny and I will be back together here on the Ringside Report Network. And Tony Khan, let's see if I can pull this up for you.
This is on the Twitter machine.
Yeah, I don't know. My thing's not connecting. I don't think it's going to work.
Well, you can read it to me.
Hang on. Is this working? No, that's not working.
Black screen.
That's weird. That's weird. Okay, so Tony Khan says, as referenced on Rampage, I have a surprise. On AEW Dynamite, live on TBS, a top wrestler will walk through the forbidden door this Wednesday and debut in AEW. More info to come. Thank you to everyone who joined us for a great Rampage tonight. See you Wednesday on TBS. A top wrestler will walk through the forbidden door Wednesday and debut in AEW. A lot of non-compete clauses for the WWE releases expired recently. Keith Lee, among others. A lot of people thinking it might be Keith Lee showing up to AEW.
But is that forbidden door, though? Really? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, forbidden door is usually someone who's in another company still.
Okada?
You would think New Japan right away, right?
You would hope.
I mean, it could be someone from Impact. I mean, they did mention Josh Alexander last week, right?
Yeah. I mean, is that a huge surprise? Is that somebody that you go, oh my God, it's Josh Alexander? I think I was saying the other day how it doesn't matter. How if they hired, because Brandy's like, oh, we only hired Ethan Page to get close to Josh Alexander. And I'm like, well, you didn't have to do that. I mean, why?
Well, this would be the why. Like, he would show up. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying that, you know, there's actual logic behind what you said.
Give me something good. It's John Cena. It's Shane McMahon.
I don't know if it's going to be anyone that great. I mean, it's going to be someone who's probably just going to do a match or two.
Really?
Well, Forbidden Door, right? They're still wrestling somewhere else.
You don't think Keith Lee or Killer Cross or one of these guys shows up? Tony Storm?
I think Keith Lee's going to show up. I think Tony Storm, he's still at the wait a little bit. But Keith Lee, I think he's going to show up eventually. But I think he might be one of those things where, because they usually like to do the guy debuting either at the pay-per-view or right after the pay-per-view, right? So I think he's going to be one of those guys.
I'll tell you who won't be in AEW. Nia Jax.
Well, she's going to get arrested, no?
You think she's going to get arrested?
Possibly. I mean, that wasn't smart what she did. It's pretty stupid.
Oh, man. So somebody tweeted to Nia Jax about the COVID vaccine, and she says she's not taking the COVID vaccine, and she says the WWE actually had a problem with that and said, you know, she's going to not be able to make all her contracted dates if she's not vaccinated. And Nia says, ha, 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 I stand by that too. Honey, if you really think that all your favorites don't feel the same as I do, you're sadly mistaken. And this is where it gets crazy. I know a lot of people in many professional sports that just paid and got a real card from a doctor. So now I think what she's saying is pro athletes and people maybe in WWE paid doctors to get a card that gives you proof of vaccination even though you don't get vaccinated, just so that you can move around freely. That's what she's saying. Snitching on people.
Yeah.
What?
Well, she didn't snitch on people exactly, but the fact that she knows people like that, the fact that she said that publicly,
damn.
Oh, that's pretty bad. She could get in a lot of trouble for that.
That's illegal, right?
That is illegal.
Why would you say that publicly on Twitter? And then not delete it when people call you out on it. Like, people have been calling her out on it all day. She tweeted this 8 hours ago, and she still hasn't deleted it. She's brazenly stupid. That's crazy. You don't do a crime or know of a crime, a dry snitch on people, and then leave it on Twitter, you dumbass. Holy shit. So dumb.
Well, I think she gets like, too passionate about this.
Oh, I know
issue.
People that have done murders, you know, and they're just still walking the streets. I know them. Somebody might knock on my door and be like, who do you know that did murders? Because that's not good. That's illegal. I don't know anybody that's done murders, you know, as far as I know. But I'm saying, you know, you can't go and say, oh, I know people that did this crime. Somebody might knock on your door and say, yeah, who? Who are you talking about? I don't know. And there's doctors that are doing this, giving out fake vaccine cards, proof of vaccination so that people can travel and do whatever. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I am surprised that Nia Jax would tweet about it.
Well, think about for WWE now, like that's going to put them under a bad eye now. Now people are going to wonder about them, like, oh, how many people have fake cards in WWE, so I can't imagine WWE would be too happy about her doing this.
I mean, what can they do, right? They got to trust their performers to go out and get vaccinated, and when they show the proof of vaccination, they got to trust that it's real. And if they're getting it from a doctor,
right.
I guess there's no way to tell that it's not. It's just...
I just don't think you're going to see her back in WWE, like, probably ever again.
Nope. Especially after that tweet. Funny though, one thing that did come out, Nia Jax did an interview on Renee Young's podcast, or Renee, what's her real name? Renee Moxley, whatever.
Okay.
There you go. You know Renee. We all know Renee. She had Nia Jax on her podcast, and Nia said that she was asked to be in the Rumble, and she said no.
Right.
But apparently they were asking like more than 30 people to be in the Rumble. So what they would do is they would call you up and say, hey, do you want to be in the Rumble? And you would say yes, and they'd be like, okay, cool, we're going to get back to you with details. And they would assemble this list of, like, I don't know, 40 or 50 people per Rumble. Who knows how many people they got, right? And then Vince
right.
And, you know, whoever would pick and choose who they would use, and then you get the call back like, oh, sorry, plans changed. We're not going to use you in the Rumble. Or, yes, we need you in the Rumble type of thing. But they weren't telling the people. They were just calling them up and saying, hey, do you want to be in the Rumble? And people were like, yeah. So imagine you're like somebody who hasn't wrestled for a while, who wants a paycheck, who wants to be on TV. They call you and they go, hey, do you want to be in the Rumble? And you go, yeah, awesome. This is great. And then you're just on a list of potential Rumble participants. They haven't told you that. They haven't told you you're on a bubble list. They told you you're in. And then all of a sudden they call you back and they're like, yeah, we're not going to need you. Thanks. We'll think of you in the future. You're like, fuck, I was going to be in the Rumble this year. God damn. I'm going to buy all those video games now for my Twitch channel. Right? That's what people are thinking, John. That's what people are thinking. So I thought that was an interesting thing that WWE does. Not super nice to their talent. Apparently Nia Jax and Lana both declined to be in the Women's Rumble. And Jeff Hardy was asked to be in the Men's Rumble, and he also declined. I wonder how many other people were asked and either said yes or no and didn't wind up being in the Rumble. Probably a bunch.
Well, I mean, you know, again, you have a choice. You don't want to do it, don't do it. Like, you know, like I can understand if you look at how a lot of people they brought back were used. Probably best not to put in that kind of situation unless you were a certain name. I think besides maybe Lita, Mickie James, and I feel like probably someone else. Like no one else was really used that well.
Mickie James was used well? She got dumped out in like a minute.
No, Mickie James actually lasted quite a bit. She had a sequence with Lita for a bit there as well.
She did not last long in that Rumble.
Well, the thing is, in the Women's Rumble, it didn't last long compared to, like, the men's. Like, the men's lasted longer for a lot of them. But Mickie did pretty good. She had a good showing. I feel like she had some eliminations, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. She lasted 11 minutes, I guess.
I'm not saying, like, she was amazing.
She eliminated
11's not bad.
One person.
There you go. I mean, they gave her something. Like, a lot of people were in and out, so...
Yeah, I mean, Kelly was in there for a minute. Melina was in there under a minute. Sonya Deville was in there for 2 minutes. Dana Brooke in there just over 2 minutes. Cameron was in there for 51 seconds. She gets the call for 51 seconds. Ivory in there for 25 seconds. Summer Rae.
Ivory's like 60, though, so I understand for that.
She looks the same as she did in the 90s somehow. Amazing. Summer Rae, yeah. 52 seconds. Sarah Logan, 43 seconds. Mighty Molly, 20 seconds. So, yeah, I guess compared to some of the other legends, Mickey got a better run in the Rumble. Okay. I'll give it to you. WrestleMania season, John. What? Does it get worse every year, or is that just me?
I don't think it really gets worse. Like, I just feel like they don't put enough, like, focus on the undercard. That's the problem. Like, I feel now they just focus on the main events, and then the undercard, well, it just comes together in the last couple of days kind of thing, which is too bad, because I feel like if you really want to make a strong card, it's got to be good top to bottom. And I feel like that's what's lacking now. It's just, let's build 2, 3, 4, 5 matches, and that's it. Or, as we know, WrestleMania is like 14, 15 matches long.
It's two nights now, and they build like right. 2, 3 matches on the card. You're supposed to sit through two nights of this where it's all filler, and then you get to the main matches, and it's just like, man, I've been watching 4 hours of wrestling. I don't even care anymore. That's a bad thing, too. It's like, man, you sit through all these matches that mean nothing because they've had no build and they don't mean anything, and then at the end, it's a main event that they have build for, but you're just... burnt out from the 4-hour show. You don't even care. It's not a good recipe for a fun time.
Well, this is why you got to have a good undercard, so then you're not completely like not caring so much. And they have the potential there. They have enough talent to make a good card. They just got to put it together here.
Tony Khan tweeting again about the Forbidden Door. He says, the Forbidden Door can be open for anyone from any wrestling promotion in the world, whether or not it's a company AEW is on good terms with, even if it's someone from a company that's open for business. What's a company that's open for business? WWE? Right? They said they're open for business, right?
He's talking about WWE.
Yeah. They're also welcome to slam the door in the face of their prior company. So it sounds like somebody from WWE is coming over.
So it sounds like, yeah.
Right?
Because I think he was trying to clarify the fact that he was thinking Forbidden Door like I thought Forbidden Door, but he was clarifying like it's more than just that.
Right. So probably somebody that was released that is coming over, like Keith Lee or Shane McMahon or something like that. Not Shane McMahon.
What?
I think Keith Lee is the most likely scenario, yeah. Although is he the only, you know, because he's the only name we're really coming up with that makes sense. But is there anybody else? I guess Karrion Kross, the former Karrion Kross, maybe. Who else did they fire?
Well, I like John Morrison, his wife, too. Like, I think they'd be great, actually.
Yeah. But John Morrison, did he get released too, John Morrison?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Does he move the needle?
Like, again, like, I think he'd be good in AEW. Is he, like, you know, a needle mover? Maybe not so much, but I think his style, and I think with his wife there too for the women's division, I think it'd just be great additions.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens on Dynamite coming up on Wednesday night. Johnny and I will be back for that. I will be back on Monday night after Raw to review everything going down on Raw in Denver. Oh, my God, Raw in Denver. How many weed jokes are they going to make with Riddle on Monday? Jeez. Mile High, get it? Riddle, get it? Weed, get it? Fucking dumb. They're 100% going to do that.
He was going to win the Rumble. Wow.
Yeah, right. Who said that? Who thought that?
And I people keep telling me, oh, you hear the report about like Riddle was going to win the Rumble? I'm like, I don't believe it, but sure, people can say what they want to believe.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people were supposed to do this, supposed to do that. Doesn't actually happen. So Raw in Denver Monday night, Johnny and I will, well, no, I'll be on with my brother coming up Monday night after Raw. And then Johnny and I will be back after Dynamite in Atlantic City coming up on Wednesday. A big week coming up on the Ringside Report Network. We've got Raw post-show Monday, Wednesday night after Dynamite. Thursday night, we're going to be previewing UFC 271. Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya for the middleweight championship. We'll be previewing that Thursday night, 8 p.m. on Ringside Report MMA. Then next Friday, Johnny and I back here. And then on Saturday, next Saturday, the 12th of February, it will be the UFC 271 watch-along right here on the Ringside Report Network. So very busy times. And then, of course, the week after is the Elimination Chamber. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and click the bell every time so you get notifications each time that we are on. Thank you to all the members. I'm seeing Jason Pete in the chat. Harold Schneider, thank you. You're the Super Chat Leader of the Night. Don't forget to become a member. Go to join.ringsidereport.net to sign up. Join.ringsidereport.net. Sign up or click that join button beneath me. $5 a month and you support the Ringside Report Network. And we appreciate it very much. Thank you to everybody tuning in. And I'll see you again Monday night after Raw.